I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Welcome to the Jazz Notes Podcast. I'm your host, Ben Anderson. We are talking about the Utah Jazz and their moves that they have made in the last week. You can find me on Twitter at Ben's Hoops. You can read everything I write at kslsports.com. We appreciate you, as always, subscribing and downloading these podcasts. It's a fun way to be able to interact with our listeners and certainly talk about some of the work that we've been able to do at kslsports.com. The big news of this week, in addition to it being Christmas, was that the Utah Jazz made a couple of early season moves and pretty drastic moves. Nothing minor, nothing in a spot where the Jazz just said, hey, we think this is a G League player that can make us better by signing, you know, a young guy to a contract that's just a gamble. No, the Jazz made big moves that probably indicate that they were pretty sure that what they had was not working and wasn't going to work this season. So they went out and did something somewhat radical. And the first move was trading Dante Exum to go get Jordan Clarkson, the guard from Cleveland. Obviously, Dante Exum, the former number 5 overall pick by the Utah Jazz. This was his 6th season in the NBA. We'll talk a little bit about him coming up in a moment. And then the Jazz waived, after their loss to the Miami Heat, Jeff Green. They waived the veteran who they signed this offseason and have to eat that contract. And it's only a couple million dollars, but still, that's a couple million dollars the team has to spend. And they actually took on more money by bringing in Jordan Clarkson. So the Jazz spent a little bit of money. And then in addition, went and signed a player named Rajon Tucker from the G League, from the Wisconsin Herd, to come in and join the team and replace Jeff Green. Replace Jeff Green in this rotation. So it was an aggressive Monday, an aggressive pre-Christmas Monday for the Jazz to go out there and make these moves. Let's talk a little bit about why they made a couple of these moves and what those moves mean. First, I think acquiring Jordan Clarkson is a gamble. I think that needs to be the first thing we point out, that this is not this aggressive move that Jazz said, hey, we're going all in on this trade. We're trying to make sure that we're going to get the best player available, and Jordan Clarkson is that guy, and we think he's the guy who pushes us over the edge. I don't think that's what the Jazz are saying. Jordan Clarkson has actually been pretty good this year. He's been pretty efficient this year, shooting about 44% from the floor, 37% from the three-point line. Those would be big improvements to this bench. He scores 14 points a game. Basically, he's done that his entire career. He's never scored fewer than double digits. The Jazz need that. But his plus-minus numbers historically, including last year, are kind of all over the place. Now, this year, he's ranked as the 85th best player in the NBA, according to NBA Real Plus-Minus. Last year, he was in the 400s out of about, 480 players that ended up playing in the league last year. He was the 4th worst defensive player in the NBA last year, according to Defensive Real Plus-Minus. So he has flaws to his game, and it's why the Lakers traded him when they did, to try and pair him with LeBron in the past to kind of start rebuilding, ironically, to get LeBron that next offseason, and why Jordan Clarkson was not more highly sought after, because the Jazz didn't give up a lot to get him. Dante Exum wasn't in the rotation. Dante Exum has 2 years left on his contract, one after this season, and the Jazz only had to give up 2 second-round picks. If he was a guy that somebody thought was going to push you into championship contender mode or was going to put you over the edge, somebody probably would have been willing to give up a first-round pick for him because he's been available for the Cleveland Cavaliers as they've been trying to take on salaries and get future draft stock as they're fully in their rebuilding process. So I think Jazz fans should be a little bit hesitant thinking that Jordan Clarkson's going to come in and make an enormous impact on this team. But I do think it's a smart move on a couple of levels. A, Dante Exum wasn't helping the team anymore because he wasn't in the rotation. And he wasn't in the rotation because he was being outplayed pretty significantly by Emmanuel Mudiay, and that says a lot because Emmanuel Mudiay is a very mid-level player right now in the NBA, and while that's an improvement from where he was every season over the last five of his career, it's not an enormous endorsement of who he is as a basketball player. He's a very middle-level player, and that's good because the Jazz were able to get him at a minimum contract, and at that point he's worth what you pay him, but he's not a guy who also is going out and winning you a bunch of games. And when he plays well, it's not an indicator that the Jazz are going to win because he played well in Miami and the Jazz didn't win that game. And he's had games where he's played poorly and the Jazz have won, you know. So he's a guy that the Jazz want to continue to get better and hope he continues to get better, but hasn't done that and was still better than Dante Exum. And that's a major issue, especially for a guy that you were owed $9 million this year and another $9 million this year, and that potentially climbs up to $11 million if he hits certain bonuses, and it didn't look like he was going to get those, but you know, that's a lot of money to be paying a guy who just simply can't get on the floor on a team that is having to use every penny they have right now to build themselves into a contender because they spent so much money on the starting lineup between Mike Conley, Bojan Bogdanovic, Rudy Gobert is on a max contract and you know is going to sign another deal coming up here in the next few years. So the Jazz needed to get out from Dante Exum's contract, and they attached 2 second-round draft picks with him in this trade to get Jordan Clarkson. And best-case scenario, Clarkson steps in and is Jamal Crawford, is Lou Williams, is you know some of these wings that we've seen come in the NBA in years past. Dennis Schroeder right now is doing it with the Oklahoma City Thunder and gives the Jazz a major scoring punch and gives this Jazz bench a scoring identity that they've really lacked so far this season. Worst-case scenario, he doesn't work out. Jazz decide they don't want to play him much in this rotation. They go back to this bench unit they have been using. Royce O'Neal comes off the bench as the Jazz seem like they like starting Joe Ingles. And Jordan Clarkson expires this offseason. And the Jazz have a little extra money to play with by going out and signing a player that they're no longer stuck under Dante Exum. I think there's a real chance that's what we end up seeing. But if Jordan Clarkson can come in and work out, and again, he's played well so far this season in Cleveland, and maybe he benefits from playing with a coach like Quinn Snyder, maybe he really has a good opportunity. Regardless, it was a very good trade for the Jazz. You couldn't have Dante Exum sitting on your bench eating $18 million this season and next year without playing when you could have found a way to move that. And you don't want to move second-round draft picks. You want to have as many cracks at it as you get in the NBA draft. But that was a pretty good trade because you can go out and spend some of that money, or Jordan Clarkson works out. So it was a very good move for the Utah Jazz in that sense. I think that was a positive. Earlier today at Shoot Around, this is what Donovan Mitchell had to say about Jordan Clarkson.
We all know what he can do on the offensive end, you know, being able to add another threat on the coming off the bench, I think is really huge, really key. We're really excited to have both of them. You know, I think obviously it's going to take a minute for them to get used to the terminology and the system and whatnot, but we're really excited to have them.
So there you go. Interesting thoughts on what Donovan knows about Jordan Clarkson. He had said right after the trade he really didn't know much about him on Monday night. So we'll see how quickly he can get indoctrinated. The Jazz need an identity off their bench once again, and Jordan Clarkson is a scorer and knows how to score the ball, and he's not a great defensive player. Certainly looks better this year than he has in years past, but when you get outscored as badly as this Jazz second unit has been so far this season, sometimes you just need to be able to keep the game closer. Maybe not win those battles with your second unit, but keep the game closer so you're not -8, -12 every time those guys are on the floor, and that has been the case recently. All right, now the second part of that bench problem, not that Dante Exum wasn't playing, was that Jeff Green was playing. And Jeff Green was, according to Real Plus Minus, one of the 10 worst players in the NBA this season. And I think if you watched the games, it felt like he was one of the 10 worst players, I should say, this season. He just did not impact games at all unless he was hitting threes. And he would have to go 5 of 7 to impact games hitting threes. I mean, it was that significant. He had to do that much to feel like he was having a major impact. And that's going to happen 5 times a year, 4 times a year. And he just wasn't giving you anything defensively. He wasn't turning into the playmaker that I think the Jazz had talked about wanting to see from him early in the season and hoping he was just going to go out there and play basketball and be a veteran presence, be a guy who was happy to take shots and get shots with that second unit. And he just seemed so unengaged. And he wasn't like that in the locker room. I think that's what's so weird is that he felt like a little bit of a leader in the locker room. He would talk after games. He would talk about what was wrong with the team. It seemed accurate what he was diagnosing. He was never afraid to say that he was part of the problem. And it just never got better. And for a guy who's played that much basketball in his career, for it to not get better was weird. So I think the Jazz made the right move by waiving him. It also says a lot that the Jazz chose to waive him over waiving George Niang, Nigel Williams-Goss, Juwan Morgan, these other guys who are filling out the end of the bench that don't get on the floor at all and honestly can't be on the floor right now in an NBA game. And the Jazz still chose to waive Jeff Green to make space, to bring in a guy who doesn't even play his position in Rajon Tucker. Rajon Tucker is 6 foot four. It's listed at 6 foot five. I didn't think he was that big today when I saw him at practice. Can jump out of the gym, but is a three-point shooter, but that's all he's going to do. I just don't think he's going to be a guy who takes the ball in his hand and makes a lot of moves, nor does the Jazz bench have room for that player, because that's what Emmanuel Mudiay does, and certainly that's what Jordan Clarkson does. So he's probably, if he gets on the floor, Rajon Tucker is just going to be a spot-up shooter who provides some defense on the other end of the ball with his exceptional athleticism, and he is one of the best leapers in the NBA. To move on from Jeff Green in that spot was surprising and was absolutely something the Jazz needed to do, and I think it was pretty clear by looking at the numbers that Jeff Green was a guy you had to move on from. They like George Niang. They want to play George Niang. You're going to see him more. The real plus-minus minutes haven't really bared out that George Niang's a great player, but he's certainly better than Jeff Green, and basically every statistic points at that. And then he's a dead-eye shooter. Say what you will about George Niang's athleticism, and it's one of the, you know, the lowest strengths in the NBA or of his game. By far, he's one of the worst athletes in the NBA, but he is a dead-eye shooter, 50% from the floor, 40% from the three-point line, and really over the last 10 games, those numbers have been even higher, and you need that in the NBA. And again, it goes along with the line of the Jazz feeling like, hey, they may not be able to win the battle of second units, but they're going to get hot and they can score, and if they can score, they can keep the games close, and if they keep the games close, the Jazz starting line is going to be able to win those games. So the Jazz chose to go in that direction. They waived Jeff Green. It doesn't seem like there's going to be a lot of ill will. I think it was a bad marriage. I think both sides needed to go their own way. And I think you'll see Jeff Green picked up by an NBA team pretty quickly here. Maybe he wants to wait a little bit and settle and figure his life out and get back onto a floor and choose a better contender when he feels like he's ready to go. Or maybe he gets picked up off waivers. There's also that opportunity as well. So we will keep an eye on Jeff Green. I will say this. It was interesting to hear Donovan Mitchell talk about him and how well respected he was by Donovan and by that locker room, and the way everyone talked about him on Twitter after the game. Here's what Donovan Mitchell had to say about Jeff Green today at practice.
You know, I had no idea after the game. So after it happened, you know, it was tough to see my guy go. You know, yeah, I saw what I said on Twitter. He's a guy that, you know, we shot together. I talked to him a bunch, picked his brain. You know, I really wish him the best. He's a guy that, you know, I really look to and looked up to. You know, and he's I stay in contact with still to this day, but you know, we just got to keep going, you know, next man up, you know, keep moving forward. He wished us all the best of luck, and there was nothing, no animosity, nothing against us or against him. We're just ready to go and ready to play, and he's a really professional person too, with the way he handled everything too, because, you know, there's sometimes not always the case, but he was real professional with the way he handled it.
So there you go, Donovan Mitchell talking about Jeff Green. And again, he was a guy that the Jazz, it seemed like having around. He seemed like he was very fun in the locker room and a nice guy, but just was not a very good fit on this roster. And the Jazz were smart to adjust and make their moves off of that, as opposed to doubling down and saying, no, we sign him this offseason. We have to make that work. Okay, now on to Rajon Tucker. Quickly, he's a freak athlete. I mean, if you've watched his highlights, and I think that's, you know, most anyone's ever seen of him, and understandably so, he played at Florida Gulf Coast, and then he transferred up to Arkansas, or I should say Little Rock, and I'm guessing nobody really saw those college basketball games very much, and was supposed to transfer to Memphis. Remember, this is a Memphis team this season that had James Wiseman, who was the number one high school recruit, and Penny Hardaway, their head coach, the NBA legend, had really put together a team that everyone thought was going to have a chance to go to the Final Four, and Rajon Tucker was going to be a part of that, and that team has since fallen apart. But that does give you an indication of what type of a player he was in college. He was a guy who people thought would come in and be a veteran on a college team that could help you win. And maybe if he did that, he would have been in the NBA draft this year. He chose to bypass Memphis, went undrafted, went to the Herd in Wisconsin, and just basically dominated the G League. And that's a good sign. You should dominate. If you're an NBA player and you're playing in the G League, you should be dominating those games. And that's exactly what he did. But we do know that the G League and the NBA are totally different animals. We've seen guys like Mo Wallman, a former Jazz draft pick, dominate the G League and just can't make it in the NBA. You know, Jimmer Fredette is a great G League player and can't make it in the NBA. The good news is some of the physical limitations those guys have are not matched by Rajon Tucker. As I mentioned, he's just a crazy leaper. He's got a huge body. He has huge legs, and he's fast. So he should be able to play defense on that side of the ball if he can put in the effort. That seems to have come and gone in his career is what my understanding is of Rajon Tucker. When he wants to be athletic and he wants to have an impact on the defensive side of the ball, he can do it. He gets caught sleeping. He doesn't always pay attention. And when that happens, he's just simply not effective enough. Now, he's a good shooter, 38% from the three-point line in the G League, was over 40% in college. That's a really good sign. Got to see him shoot a little bit today at practice. I would be lying if I said I wanted to break down much of what we see in guys shooting at practice, because Tony Bradley hit 13 threes today in a row in the corners, and I wouldn't trust him to shoot a three in an NBA game. I would much rather have a guy like Rajon Tucker shoot threes, and it didn't look like he was shooting the ball that well in practice, but I'm sure he's nervous. It was his first day of practice with the team, and he knew the media was watching. So I'm sure I don't want to build much off that or read much out of that. Donovan Mitchell did talk about what Rajon Tucker can bring to this team.
He's a physical defender. You know, I'll start off with that. You know, he's a guy who's tenacious, works hard, similar to how Royce, you know, came in, really works hard, really works his butt off, prides himself on the defensive end. But he can also do things on the offensive end. He can score, he can get to the rim, he can play above the rim. You know, he's just a very cerebral player, but obviously both young, got a lot to learn, but his defense is one thing that really stood out to a lot of us, you know, his work ethic, you know, to become better and want to become better for sure.
There you go. That's Donovan Mitchell talking about Rajon Tucker and what he's going to be able to do and how he's kind of more than just a leaper. I doubt he plays a whole lot. I think we'll see a lot of Jordan Clarkson. I don't think at this point in the NBA, or I should say this point in the Jazz season, we're going to see a lot of Rajon Tucker. There's not a huge need for him as long as you've got Jordan Clarkson playing and Emmanuel Mudiay can play and Mike Conley, assuming he comes back in the next little bit. You know, you've got Donovan Mitchell capable of playing 32 to 38 minutes when he has to, though I don't think the Jazz want to play him on that high end. And then Royce O'Neal and Joe Ingles have been playing very well as late as well. So they can keep those guys in the bench or in the rotation and put Rajon Tucker as a guy who gets an opportunity to play if they absolutely need him. But he may still spend more time with the G League and then be an emergency option for the Jazz should they feel like they need that athleticism. That'll do it for this episode of the Jazz Notes podcast. Appreciate you tuning in. Again, make sure you subscribe, like us wherever you download your podcast, and give us a rating. I'm Ben Anderson. Make sure to check out KSLSports.com for the latest on the Utah Jazz.